In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we know from Scripture and from the whole tradition of our church that everything God does, He does out of love for us. Everything He accomplishes in this world is only because of His mercy and His love for us. Christ came into the world. He was born. He suffered. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He established the church as His body, all out of love for us. Everything Christ does is because He loves us. We must always keep the memory of this reality close to our hearts. We, myself included, often focus when we hear stories like the one today about the healing of the blind man, we often focus on the spiritual meanings of these passages. And it's true that these things have spiritual realities, that ultimately what Christ our God is concerned with, what He desires, is that we be saved. That we inherit His eternal kingdom, that we would be glorified and exist forever with Him. But at the same time, we can't forget the simple, straightforward side of these accounts, of all these little things that the Lord did, some small, some great, just to show His compassion, like healing a blind man of his blindness. Healing him physically. You see, Christ has a merciful heart. He has a heart overflowing with mercy. And He wants to demonstrate that mercy for us any way He possibly can, any way we're open to receiving it. And for this blind man who cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," his heart was yearning for him to have sight. Simply that his eyes would be opened, that he could see like other people, that he could experience the world visually like other people. And so he cried out. And Christ, in His mercy, in His great love for this man, which, by the way, is simply an indication of how greatly He loves each and every one of us, but in His great love for this man, He responds with the mercy and the way that this man will be able to understand it, so that then Christ can capture his heart and draw this man's heart to his own heart and renew it and draw him into the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Christ has a merciful heart, and He wishes for each of us to have a merciful heart. And what is a merciful heart? Saint Isaac the Syrian asks that question, and he gives an answer. And what is a merciful heart? It is the heart's burning for the sake of the entire creation, for men, for birds, for animals, for demons, and for every created thing. And at the recollection and sight of them, the eyes of a merciful man pour forth abundant tears. From the strong and vehement mercy that grips his heart, and from his great compassion, his heart is humbled, and he cannot bear to hear or to see any injury or slight sorrow in creation. For this reason, he offers up prayers with tears continually, even for irrational beasts, for the enemies of the truth, and for those who harm him, that they be protected and receive mercy. And in like manner, he prays for the family of reptiles because of the great compassion that burns without measure in his heart in the likeness of God. It's probably Saint Isaac's most famous passage. Now, we may not yet be at this measure of mercy where our heart is overflowing with love to such an extent that we're praying for the reptiles. We may not be at that measure. But he said at the end of that passage that I read to you that this heart that he's describing is in the likeness of God. Do you understand what this is saying to us about God? About our God? About our Christ? It is God-like to be merciful. It is Christ-like to be merciful. And we show our love for God by our merciful heart. Christ draws the world to him when he's crucified. By his crucified love, he draws us to love. He draws the world to him at his crucifixion, and as he draws us to him, he draws us closer to each other, like the spokes of the wheel that come to the center of the wheel. And as they each come to the center, they're drawn closer to one another. This is an image of the church. This is the image of the unity and the love that ought to exist amongst Christians in the life of the church. Unity is a sign of hearts that are merciful, that are Christ-like. Disunity, disharmony, division, hatred, strife, envy, argumentation, and so on, these are from the enemy. These are from the enemy. So St. Paul, in today's epistle passage to the Ephesians, says Christ is our peace. Christ came to be our peace, to abolish division in his body. He's made us one people in the church. In fact, not just one people, but one man. We are his body. One organism. We are members of Christ. One household, one body. This is at the heart of the gospel. Do we believe it? Do our hearts yearn for that? Do they want that unity? Are they Christ-like? Today the church gives us the commemoration of a very merciful saint. Saint Philaret the Merciful. Even had the title, Merciful. Saint Philaret was perhaps the most generous man after Christ himself who's ever lived. It's astonishing when you read his life. He was born in Paphlagonia, in what is today Turkey. And he was married to Theosovo, his wife, and they had three children, and they were well-to-do. They were a noble family and had large properties. They had fields and orchards. They had thousands of sheep and cattle. And his life mentions that they also had beehives. They raised honey. So they had this great abundance. But St. Philaret had this problem. He loved people. He was merciful. He was compassionate. And so when he saw somebody in need, he gave. He didn't stop to think whether he should or he shouldn't. He just gave. When he heard what they needed, he gave anything he possibly could. Well, that great generosity, combined with a few years of failing crops, combined with some people who were thieves and stole from him, meant that he and his family, after having this great wealth, came to the point of having almost nothing left. It says in his life that they had one cow with her calf, they had a horse, and they had a donkey and a pair of oxen and their beehives. And that was about all they had left. And so, in this situation, now St. Philaret is tested. He and his family, you could say. And his wife, by the way, was herself a saint because she put up with her husband. Really. She was long-suffering and patient with her husband, and I believe that their whole family was sanctified through his great generosity and their bearing with him. So, along came a certain poor neighbor, and he said, "I had two oxen with which I was able to plow my field, but one of them has died. Can you lend me one of your oxen? So St. Philaret, who was using his only two oxen to plow his field, unyoked one of the oxen and gave it to the man. So then he only had one ox left. And then the man's other ox died. And he came and said, "Can you help me?" And so he gave him his last ox. Now his wife saw that he had given the oxen away, and she started yelling at him and telling him that he was a lazy good-for-nothing and didn't want to plow the field, and that's why he gave the oxen away. But he just smiled and went on. Then along came a soldier who had been doing military exercises, and his horse had been kicked and had died. And now he had to go back to his commanding officer, and he was afraid that he would be in terrible trouble if he came back without a horse. And he was in the neighborhood of St. Philaret's house, and somebody told him, "Oh, Philaret, he's very generous. Go to him, maybe he has a horse for you." So the soldier came to his house and told him about his dire straits, and Philaret had compassion on him and gave him his only last horse. And off went the soldier with the horse. And then their family was in such great need that they had to go and to borrow some wheat. So they went to a neighbor they knew had sheaves of wheat, and they borrowed 6 bushels of wheat. And they used their donkey to carry the wheat back to their house. Well, no sooner had Philaret arrived with the wheat at their house than another poor neighbor came, begging for help and saying, "Can you please give me some wheat?" And so he started measuring out wheat. And his wife said, "Well, if you're going to give him that wheat, you might as well give him the rest and the donkey as well." And as the man was going off after having received the first portion of wheat, St. Philaret came running after him and he said, "My wife wants you to have this wheat and this donkey also." And so the man went off with all the wheat and the donkey too. And then finally another poor neighbor came and he said, "I'm in terrible state. I have no way to support my family." He said, "I heard that you have a little calf. Would you please give me that calf so that I can start to raise a herd?" And so St. Philaret gave him the calf, and his wife said, "You unmerciful man," because the cow started lowing, you know, and crying because the calf had gone off. She said, "You unmerciful man, you're not being merciful to your family. At least you could have compassion on the cow." And he said, "Yes, you're right." And so he gave the cow to the man as well. Finally, all they had left to eat was the honey in their beehives. But that honey started to disappear as soon as Philaret tried to give it away, because his children were going at night and gathering the honey so they'd have something to eat. So all of this happened, and Philaret never stopped being merciful, never stopped doing anything he could to be generous to those around him. Meanwhile, there was a young emperor on the throne who was not married and was looking for a wife. And so he sent messengers out, and these messengers went to different parts of, this is of course in the Byzantine Empire, and they came to Philaret's house, and they discovered that this was a noble family, and that even though they had been reduced to poverty, Philaret had these children, and one of his daughters, who was a young widow, had 2 daughters who were young women, and they were beautiful. And so the messengers found this family, and they went and told the emperor about them. He said, "Bring them." And so the whole family went to the imperial palace. And there the emperor met one of those granddaughters of Philaret, whose name was Maria, and he fell in love with her. And he chose her to be his wife. And so Maria married the emperor, and Philaret and his family came to live at the imperial palace. And so we see that Philaret is like another Job, who God tested, and he showed his faithfulness and his mercy and his love, even in the most difficult circumstances, that he never stopped having faith in God, and he never stopped showing mercy. And the Lord blessed him greatly for this. And so when he came to the end of his life, which was in the late 700s, and he fell asleep in the Lord. His family was gathered around him, and they say that a heavenly fragrance filled the room, and that his face shone like the sun. And you see, Saint Philarete was not going around and working miracles. As far as we know, he wasn't levitating when he was praying. He wasn't a bishop. He didn't occupy any important position in the church. Nothing like that. He simply had a Christ-like heart full of mercy. He loved God, and he loved his brothers and sisters. And he constantly acted out of that love. And so he was sanctified by that love. He was made holy. So the church gives Saint Philarete to us as a paradigm, as a beautiful example of what it is to be merciful. Now again, we may not yet be at the measure of the merciful heart that Saint Isaac talks about, and we may not yet be at the measure of generosity and mercy of Saint Philarete. But Christ is desiring to see in us a merciful heart like his. Like his. In fact, he created our hearts to be merciful like his. So they're fully capable of being that way. So may our Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of mankind, who always shows mercy, even to those who don't appreciate it, even to the ungrateful, even to those who reject him, may our Savior, our good God, the lover of mankind, implant in each of us a yearning, a deep yearning, to have a merciful heart, to have Christ-like love that is sacrificial and burns with the desire for the well-being of every person and of all of creation. Amen.